Are you ready?
I am ready.
Okay, we'll call this meeting back to order.
Supervisors for hearing us, Elton and Laura Allred, are just presenting what's affected us since July 1st. Contrary to popular opinion, our mission in this appeal process has not been to stop the location of cell phone facilities in the county. It has not been. Some in the county and even county officials have asserted that is our purpose, and they have also said other misrepresenting things about us. During this process, we have felt that the county officials have treated our concerns with brief and unsympathetic treatment and with little attention or consideration in dealing with us or the matter.
You know, one question, I mean, if you're going to cite county officials as far as saying that you're trying to stop cell phones from going in, accusing you, it'd be fair to state names, I would think.
There would be, but you want me to name them?
Well, you're naming us all, otherwise.
Okay. I would name everybody but who I haven't had contact with. And Michelle Ryan, only because I was told that she put something derogatory on us.
Michelle Ryan is not an official.
Okay, that's fine. You can say that. I mean, I understand that. But from my position, she is the wife of a commissioner, and a wife of a commissioner is privy to certain information that ordinary citizens are not.
That may be what you're surmising, but that's not, I mean, you're accusing officials of stating fact, and I think that was an unfair accusation. That's why I asked you to clarify it, so thank you.
Okay, I appreciate it. I am just a bookkeeper. I have not done your job. I don't know what you know, so it's coming from my heart. That's all I would like you to hear. We will be submitting excerpts of the Public Records Act regarding 2001, 2010, and 2011 into the record. The purpose of the 1948-1950 ordinance is at risk with current county policy, in our opinion. This is our neighborhood, just for you to see. One more. Well, actually, go back. So the hill to the left and four, if you can see it, that's our hill. The hill to the right is the Farinelli property, and then there's another residence in the back. To the right, there's more people. This neighborhood services about 27 different parcels. At a minimum, that's all I could count, that will be affected as they come in and out of the property. Okay.
Quite honestly, unless you have like a laser or something, or can blow it up, I really can't see that. Okay. Okay. We've got a pointer here. It might help with that. Would that be helpful?
Ooh, that's a good one.
So the community in the area, sorry about the problems. It is kind of dark. back around, it shows the neighbors that use the road in and out of our neighborhood. Last pan, just for you to see. Mostly because your code says to protect the character of neighborhoods and communities and the visual quality of Amador County, that was to establish what the area looks like. Okay, back to... So CEQA, we had a legal professional, Mr. Graff, and he stated that this proceeding falls under the purview of the California Environmental Quality Act. CEQA was passed by the state of California to protect certain direct and indirect significant environmental effects. The opinions of neighbors about potential impacts must be considered as substantial evidence. Both the county and Verizon Wireless both state that this current process is ministerial and not discretionary. The 1948-150 code was supposed to mitigate any potential impacts. Back there yet?
And we don't, I don't particularly like that, because I do believe I signed off on that one, and I didn't get quite what I was hoping for.
Commissioner Burns.
And we don't, I don't particularly like that, because I do believe I signed off on that one, and I didn't get quite what I was hoping for.
Well, Commissioner Burns said was that he signed off on a camouflaged pole and that he did not get quite what he was hoping for. We still do not know what this project will look like. Next slide.
What was it, what was that recording that you just played?
From the Planning Commission, August 25th.
It was from the Planning Commission meeting, though, not a private recording?
Correct.
Okay.
All of these are public records. All of my recordings and documents are from public records. So he was just stating that as a commissioner, he signed off on one, and then the talk of the town is the camouflage tree at 88 near Ione Road or wherever it is. I haven't seen it yet. But everybody laughs about that ugly tree. And he said he signed off on it without knowing what it is. That's what I'm asking you today. Let's not do that to neighborhoods. Let's do a process where we know what we're going to get.
You mind if I ask you questions as
you
go? Just
you
one.
May.
But you're talking about the visual image, and that's one of the things you're protesting, is no visual image was provided. In our packets, we have a lot of pictures and a lot of color pictures showing the visual images. That is not sufficient in your mind?
So the images that you're seeing, are they exactly what they're proposing? Is that a representation where the neighbors could look at it and determine that it wouldn't be a significant environmental effect?
I'm asking you the question.
Right, but if the neighbors aren't allowed to see it and comment under CEQA, That's part of the CEQA process, so the neighbors can see what it's going to look like in their neighborhood and determine whether or not that visual impact is significant. And we haven't been apprised of that to date. Aided the current code. The current code... 1948-150. Elton, do the top one.
Right. on a section. The application requirements clearly state that all of the subsections apply to all the applications for wireless service facilities. That's subsection F. But under G, that isn't said. I think that ought to be really clear, too, that those development standards apply to all applications, whether they're for over-the-counter permit or permits that go through the use permit process.
I'm sorry that they're not coming through clear, but basically during the discussions when they created this provision, it was that all the subsections, not just the requirements in F but G, those were to apply to all use permits. So they're not dissecting and saying, well, you're going to co-locate on an existing tower, therefore you don't have to provide the alternative map, all of the requirements of it. And so that's in public record. Next one, Elton. There's no meaningful consideration for alternative... Whoops, back.
Greg, do you want to pipe in on this?
I'm going to jump in there on the audio. The code will speak for itself. That person was a public member, not a county member, not a county employee, not a public official.
Okay.
And that opinion, her statement is not binding on the board, and it may or may not have been implemented into the code itself. So the code speaks for itself.
My question to you is, since this is a use permit, does this CEQA apply to it?
This is a staff-issued use permit, over-the-counter, and it's deemed ministerial, because if staff deems it to meet all of the requirements of the code, staff has to issue the permit. So that makes it non-discretionary. There is no discretion to choose not to issue it if it's deemed to meet the code that the Board of Supervisors has adopted as the threshold. So yes, we deem it to be ministerial.
Whereas my legal professional looked at it, and because the subsections of F and G have mitigating factors throughout them, the code itself and F and G have the potential for mitigation within it, though in this case no mitigation measures were taken, and that is one reason why we needed to appeal, because it was going to be a 50-foot galvanized steel structure visible in our neighborhood with 8-foot high antenna, 12 around, no mitigating factor. Therefore, we appealed. The alternative sites, I hope you can hear. This was a planning commissioner. They were analyzing what should be done. At the end, they say this should absolutely be included. Absolutely.
On that item that you have there, that was an illustration from Madera County, there's one section where you were talking about where the use permit fees were, that language about what the applicant needed to bring with them. Right. That one happened to be an illustration from Fresno County, but I'll be happy to read that. I thought that was a lot of information that the industry is required to bring to that county before they can even apply, or as they apply to their permit.
Basically, evidence where their antennas were and
what their network is, what the network currently consists of, where their existing towers are, what towers were within what range of the ones that were going to be proposed,
and why they needed it.
Why they needed it, and what kind of, and why they weren't figuring out whether they could co-locate on another tower. What overriding reason was there for a new tower? And I thought that was all pretty impressive information.
I can't tell. I'm going to jump in here again. So even assuming that was a planning commissioner, when the planning commission was hearing proposed language for a new ordinance, that's one commissioner speaking, not binding. And if again, the language of the ordinance is controlling. If it's clear in the ordinance, that's what controls. So a statement by one planning commissioner is not in and of itself.
Does not create an intent.
No, it doesn't. Not unless the whole commission is voting on that. And just so you're aware, the planning commission considers zoning ordinances, and they only make recommendations to the board. It's the board of supervisors that has binding authority. So, again, it's a very little relevance what one planning commissioner may have said in terms of what they'd like to see, because what really matters is what the ordinance says.
Okay, I hear you. There were two others in there who said, absolutely, we need to hear it, and I understand where you're coming from a legal standpoint. I also understand that in order to make the code not so long, they did summarize things, and the intent in those summaries are incorporated into the legislation. From what I understand, I'm not an attorney, but that's what I understand.
Who was that last speaker? Do you have a name?
On tape, and they were meeting and going over the different code sections and what they wanted to put in this code and why. And so they don't identify themselves each and every time. I would have to find out from the minutes, and that is in the flash drive that I've given you, the minutes for this proceeding also. Go ahead.
Why were they working on the code?
This is from years ago.
It was amended in 2001.
Oh, okay.
It's during the amendment and the process.
I got you. I thought it was the last.
No.
I'm sorry. I didn't clarify. Okay, so this is when they were drafting the code, and this was the discussions in the ad hoc committee for creating the current code and what they found to be important and why it was written and why it was placed where it was placed. Okay, co-location's the next area. So basically what that was saying was, and this goes along with case law too, case law is to find the least intrusive site to accomplish the purpose. And your purpose in your code says for an organized, orderly, I'm not exactly getting it, for an organized, having a blank,
sighting of or something to that.
Right, and that's why we're here. We want to make sure, as the other speakers have said, and we totally agree with them, it is coming. It is coming. The wireless is coming. But I really ask and beg the supervisors to give attention to it now and not just put one here, put one there, wherever the industry wants them to put. That you guys actually get maps from each of these providers, and you can help organize where the towers are to get the best coverage for the amount of facilities that are co-locatable at the same time.
Well, you say put one here and put one there, but then you argue against co-location in the document from your attorney.
Okay, we'll get to this one right now. Elton, play co-location, please.
You know, one.
No,
question.
I just this last one. Okay, go ahead.
Yeah, one question.
Okay.
You were citing, I believe, a planning commission meeting where they did an ordinance like in 2001. Was that
yes, for this current code?
Because I believe that current code was modified sometime in the mid 2000. Now maybe staff could tell if I'm wrong, but I thought it was made a little bit easier to put in a cell tower.
Okay, I'll just do this one, and then we'll go on to the public hearing. This is the last one I'll give you. That's from ad hoc. Very short.
We're changing the co-location. It's only a use permit if they're changing the tower significantly, which is a 10-foot or greater height.
So what he's saying is, and this, you guys can decide it in your own. I already asked you guys what it means at the very beginning, so I went to the tapes to try to figure out what your code means and why things didn't look congruent when I got a notice and when I got the law. I just sat there and went, but wait, this steel structure is supposed to be camouflaged. It's visible. Why is it not happening? I'm like, what's going on? Why am I not understanding this law? I'm an ordinary citizen trying to put the two together, and questions just kept coming up. So what co-location was saying, and I'm going to give him his caveat, it's just a committee, but what the discussion was is that co-location was to add an antenna to an existing tower if it did not exceed 10 feet. That was what the co-location meant. And you just brought up the fact that I'm against co-location. I don't see this as a co-location. I don't see an antenna going on a current tower. I see a brand new facility with antennas, ancillary equipment, structures, the whole thing. This is new, not a co-location. So if that's what you're referring to, that's my position.
Well, it's the same general area, though.
Under the FCC, it's called a multi transmitter complex site. Okay? He calls it. So, the last one on there, will the ancillary equipment be screened? The code says that if the equipment is visible from any neighboring property, the ancillary equipment shall be screened. This is from the 825.
And also, there should be screening around the structure. It's not just going to be a pole. Is there going to be some other structure around it? So we've got to.
There'll be a fence around.
We've got a fence. It's got to be screened with something that fits into the appearance of the area.
Well, I don't concur with that. The building will be fairly minimal in height, maybe 10, 12 feet. And it won't be at the top of the crown of the hill. I don't see screening
around the bottom. You mean?
It'll be down at the base of the pole, but the base of the pole is not on the crown of the hill. It's down probably 50 feet. So
on their property, yeah. Or you mean it's going to be sitting there?
You may see maybe one house, two house, but I don't think you're going to. It's going to
be in there. So I
walked the property yesterday.
So under the screening, when I read it as a plain old citizen, it says if it is, it shall be screened if it is visible from other properties. The pictures have depicted visual. It doesn't have to be on a ridge, and there are no exceptions if it's one or only two. The code says it shall be if it is from any neighboring property. So I'm asking you, if this goes through, would you please screen the ancillary equipment? Next. Already went there.
For what?
Okay. Will this staff issued permit tower comply with 1948-50D, which states facilities which are up to 50 feet in height, with the definition of height in section L that says, height shall mean, when referring to a tower as part of a wireless service facility or other structure, the distance measured from the ground level to the highest point on the facility or other structure which is greater than 2 inches in diameter. So in closing, we'll be submitting excerpts from the private records for the 2001, 10, 11 into the record. Our mission in this has not been to stop the location of cell phone facilities in the county. It has been, from the beginning, to place them in appropriate, organized fashion to determine the best place for them, and there has been no meaningful alternative site analysis in this case. The proposed facility is a change in the use in a residential neighborhood and community. The purpose of 1948-150 ordinance is at risk. It's at risk with the current policy, in my opinion. What is the county's orderly development to encourage appropriate locations? What is it? Do we have one? We don't have a map on GIS. We don't even know where existing facilities are at this point in time. And we don't ask it of our people, of our providers, if they would come in and give us a map of their coverage. We could work with and find as many as we could to service all the areas with the least amount of towers. This has been what I've been presenting every time before the Amador County, and yet I have people saying that we have a vendetta, or I don't have a vendetta against the Farinellis, okay? It's not about that. It's about something I've learned, and I feel obligated to bring it to your attention because we all want it. We all need it. Wireless is going away, right? So let's, as a county, figure out how to do an orderly development to encourage proper, appropriate locations. Potential mitigation measures for visual impacts still exist for this project. Do you have any questions?
Well, I'm not sure about your last statement there.
Okay.
So what are you saying, that you would like to see the mitigation measures implemented?
I think CEQA does that.
But we're not engaged with CEQA in this approval.
And according to your attorney, he's advised you that it is ministerial.
Right. Meaning it doesn't engage CEQA.
Meaning it doesn't engage CEQA. So nobody knows what we're going to get. Nobody has seen it, and we may end up with the tree that Commissioner Byrne said, I signed off on that one. That isn't what I was looking for. And you can help with this issue. I don't know how. It's not mine. But I wanted to present you the facts and let you guys make the right decision. I will be unplugging the flash drive and providing it. And this, is there any questions you have for us? And if not, you can call us up back later if you think of anything. We'll stay through whatever's left.
I don't know exactly what you want, though. Do you just not want the facility put there? Do you want it camouflaged more significantly? Do you want it border put around it?
Okay, first off, is it the best appropriate location? We don't know that because we have never had a meaningful discussion of alternative sites. That didn't come out till the day the staff report was published. Okay? Nobody's been able to discuss alternative sites, and that's why I brought that in, that the people who created the law, be it whoever they were discussing it, what they wanted was maps of existing facilities, alternative sites, coverage areas. They wanted to be able to orderly put these in appropriate locations. And at this point in time, it's not happening.
Well, they're also talking about alternative sites for co-location.
Co-location would be...
talked about. And there's no other sites available for co-location in that area.
They said within a mile for co-location, correct, but there's alternative sites and there's co-location. Co-location is going on an existing antenna.
I understand that.
Existing structure.
But what essentially you'd be arguing for then is that retention of the 100-foot windmill antenna now and a secondary site where this cell phone antenna would be, rather than keeping them on the same site.
I'm
in this distinguishing between co-location and same site co-site location.
Correct. If you guys determine that this location is the least intrusive and it accomplishes the service for the overall general plan, which hasn't been considered at this point in time, then that's what I get. And if I get that, I would like to know what I'm getting. I'd like to have a say at what I have to see at every day, whether or not it's not a significant, okay, let me take away CEQA's term. Let me just say that it wouldn't be an adverse visible impact in your code. If you're not going to do CEQA, which is a significant environmental impact for visual indirect, which I get to participate in, or if you state, on the other hand, that I can't argue CEQA, which I believe it pertains to this, but you don't. So in the code, it would be an adverse visible impact for the neighbors. At least the neighbors should have some say. They live there and move and drive around there.
You know, they're putting in a monopine that's about the same height as many trees on that property, similar structure as many trees in that property. I mean, I don't see where you'd really be having a huge impact, if any impact, as far as your visual quality. I can understand your request to have screening put around the base. I can understand that.
But please understand that we haven't seen the tree, the monopine. We haven't seen it. Nobody's seen it. to know whether or not it would be significant or not.
Guys, you
know,
the screen
to that point.
We've seen a photo of it. We've got photos.
Yes.
Oh, that's good.
To that point, page 279 in our packet has examples of the monopine antenna structure.
Okay.
Apparently it was presented at the August 11th Planning Commission meeting.
No, that's the one I brought in. I brought that in because I had been
August
saying...
August 11th, 2015 Planning Commission meeting?
Yes. I brought that in because I started a petition when I first noticed that the orderly development of these facilities... Is it not mine? The orderly development of these facilities was not... I didn't see it. There was no... In the file, there were no alternative sites established. There was no purpose and intent to locate them in areas where the most coverage would happen with the least intrusion. Let me go back to your question, okay? So I said that was what first hit me was, whoa, wait a second. This and this, the proposed and the law they're incongruent. What's happening here? Then I started looking into the law going, but why? Why isn't it mitigated? So then we had to appeal because we really didn't want to look at a 50-foot galvanized steel tower in our neighborhood and a very visible spot, okay? So I appealed it. People are going, you don't want the tower, you don't want the tower, you don't want the tower. And I'm like, okay, I don't want to look at a steel pole. I don't. Some people might like steel poles. I really don't think that that's congruent with my neighborhood or community, which the purpose states to protect the character of neighborhoods and communities. It doesn't protect our neighborhoods. So now we have a monopine proposed.
I understand your concern, but there can be a lot of issues you see in neighborhoods. You can see houses that are painted different colors, and you can see travel trailers that are white.
Those are residential, and we expect them. This is a commercial tower in a neighborhood and community. Okay, so let's see. I want to get back to Commissioner Plasse.
Plasse,
I'm sorry.
And a supervisor, not commissioner.
Supervisor, that's right. Ah, I'm messing up, man. My mind's all fried. Okay, so back to your question, which was, what do I want? What do I want?
That was Supervisor Forrester that asked that question. But go ahead. Please answer.
You can call me Forrester. I'm all right.
Thank you.
Commissioner.
No. My biggest and most important thing is that I wanted to bring to your attention that we need to, with all of this happening in the forefront that everybody has said, it is here. How are we going to orderly deploy it? How are we going to put them in appropriate locations if we don't even look to see if it is the appropriate location? And this hasn't happened in this case. It's just been rubber stamped to us, and we're going, but the law says this, and so I'm totally confused by all of it, to be honest with you. I have learned so much since July 1st that my brain is swimming. So in the alternative course, if you determine this to be the least intrusive means of accomplishing the service, if you guys do, then I would like that if your code section mitigated it according to the code, and that at least it was not an adverse visible impact, that it was properly screened, and all the other things that go along with that. But I would prefer that you guys actually look at the overall picture, as the lady right here was discussing. There may be a better place up there that would service the whole dang area with one and catch all those people up there in a higher elevation. But we don't know that because we didn't do an alternative site analysis.
But let me interrupt you just for a moment. Did I misunderstand? I thought there was an alternative site analysis done.
There was.
Okay.
The alternative site analysis was dated October 6th. I could only turn in my paperwork September 30th. I got an email September 30th was my deadline. And the attorneys put in numerous documents, I don't know how many pages, on the last day. They were submitted, put in staff report, the same day I put my drone video in and it said I didn't provide it. I was here pulling public records. I went home. I emailed it. I called Heidi. I said, you get it? She said, no, I need your permission to get it. She got it. I said, you got it? I said, great. And it was excluded, but the attorneys was included. There's been no meaningful looking over alternative sites except that last step right a week before the hearing.
It's currently a site, a cell site.
Yeah, I just want to point out that this argument about orderly development of and so forth is within the purpose section of what 19.448.150 includes, is to provide for that. Now, whether it's your opinion, whether the process that staff is taking and the Planning Commission has taken is sufficiently overviewing the orderly development of wireless service facilities, you seem to want a map. The code provides for certain zone districts, areas that are zoned properly for things to be located there, is one method of providing for the orderly development thereof. We've heard on multiple occasions that folks say that service in that area out there is horrible. So a facility located in such a place that would provide for much better and increased service out there seems to add to the argument that it is an area that's being properly located, or at least viewed as such, as appropriate.
I need to say something, Laura. I have a Verizon cell phone. I have internet. I have everything. I've driven up and down Fiddletown Road. I've been talking to my business all the way down Fiddletown. I got service. I have service on my phone. Everywhere I go, I have service. I have never had a drop-off until I get to Plymouth. And then it changes over to that new ugly tower that they put in down there in Plymouth. I guess it drops off. It just absolutely stops. That's the only part that I have a problem with my cell phone. Going around this area is covered perfectly.
Isn't this also about an improved level of service, not just of cell phone coverage, but the 4G, the data, and all that?
Right, that all goes on the tower, the new tower with the new antenna.
Right.
Correct. And when you said that I'm asserting that maps be done, it is in your code. It is in your code under alternative site and network analysis that there would be a map of a network.
There is not one to date.
I have to just
Let me just say that, because I'm referencing what she just referenced. The applicant shall provide a map and analysis of existing facilities and a report explaining why co-location is not feasible. Thing I'm seeing in here with regards to a map.
Pardon?
I said that's the only thing I'm seeing in here with regards to a map.
A map of existing facilities.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
There's
the provider who's applying.
The applicant shall provide.
Applicant.
And that is not in the file. Nor were alternative sites in the file when I saw the notice and the law.
Well, there is kind of an analysis of existing facilities, because they're planning on locating this at an existing facility site.
Original application back in...
Talked about co-location. And they are co-locating on existing sites.
The original permit in 2011, that use permit did provide that information. That those maps were provided showing that this was... They showed the coverage for this location.
Verizon file in the Golden State Cellular file.
That is this use permit file. That is the basis. This is an amendment. They're taking that equipment and putting it on and they're upgrading the equipment to this tower that they're proposing to put at the same location.
Didn't Verizon buy Golden State Cellular?
Yes.
Yes.
That has been the other issue that we've had throughout this. When we first got our notice, we went to the planning department and we said, are all the antenna coming off? And the answer was
no.
And so we're like, okay. I mean, we have heard it is, it isn't. We have heard all different stories. She just said that the antenna are coming off and going on the other one, right? Did I hear you right? That the antenna that are currently on the windmill are going to power.
My understanding is that the Verizon equipment is being located, and I believe that the Volcano equipment is also going there. I will defer to them.
I thought I read somewhere was staying on the tower, on the wind generator.
The Volcano is?
I believe so.
I thought there was some
I'll let them address that.
Okay, yeah, I would prefer to do that. But
the attorney letter, it says that all antennas are coming off the windmill. Or Verizon's attorney's letter.
Well, that may be a perception in that all of their equipment is coming off of it. I will defer to them to explain that, but my understanding is there are a couple of things that are on the turbine that will or may be staying that are not part of Verizon's equipment.
So tell me what is existing on this new tower.
I'll let Verizon answer that question into the technical aspect.
And we have folks here from Volcano too.
There's one
they would address it.
Are there any other questions for us at this time? Because we can certainly step away, and you can get some other answers done. Unless you're done.
I just wanted to share with you. I don't really have a question, but I'm sad for you really that you weren't here earlier, because frankly, most of the testimony we've heard today is in support of this cell tower.
That's okay. I can understand they want the coverage, because I use it.
Either.
We
have cell service whatsoever. We're not here to tell you to take out antennas. I mean, it's established. We use them. I got them on my hip. I use them for my business. Everybody around here uses them for their
right.
business.
But it's just interesting. Contrary to what you were saying about how you have service all up and down Fiddletown and everywhere, other people today testified they don't have any.
That's because they have AT&T.
Elton, no. That's okay. You know what? It's okay. It's okay, because the real goal is to offer the service to the most amount of people for one tower. That's the goal.
I would think a cellular provider, that would be their whole intent and purpose, is to get the most bang out of their buck when they put in a cell tower. They cost a lot of money. It takes a lot of time and effort. And for them to go in and put in service for one person, I don't think it's going to happen.
Well, and that's your job, right? That's your job under this code, is to make sure that it is the protection of the neighborhood, the character of neighborhoods and communities, and the visual quality of Amador County. That's your overriding
purpose. It's part of the ordinance, and I think Mr. Grohavik told you that was done in the original application as far as the map and the echolocation analysis and all that.
There was one on the 6th.
No, previous, 2011, she said.
2000 when?
I think it was 2011.
Talking about Golden State Cellular.
It's like when you buy out a company, you buy out all the rights, title, and whatever they may have.
The leases, everything else.
So it's
what were the alternative sites?
She says it was provided.
Another thing, you were talking about screening. Yes.
And I'd have a question either for, I'm not sure if it'd be for Verizon or for staff, because it talks about screening any new support facilities.
Right.
Now, I guess the question would be for Verizon, are they going to be, I don't have time to look through it and try to find it, are they going to be building any new support facilities? At this point in time, I mean, it looks like if it's not new, it doesn't need to be screened.
Want me just to start with that question?
Please.
I mean, the screening that we are providing for the ground-based equipment is the fencing. And
is it new? Are you going to have a new support facility?
We are replacing the existing equipment that's there. So, yes, it will be new equipment, but we will be screening it with fencing. And we're happy to slat it if that removes any issues with that screening.
So it'd be like a chain link, and you could slat it?
Correct.
I think that'd be appropriate.
Now, would you like me to rebut at this point or answer questions for the board?
Well, there was one comment regarding what is going to be on the new pole versus the old pole.
Well, I would like to mention just quickly the intent of the code, and I spoke with staff about this with respect to alternative sites, does deal with co-location. So it's not look at every piece of property and determine, you know, that piece of property where you could put it. It's co-location opportunities. And that was provided in the original submittal in May. It was a very short paragraph in the original submittal because there were no alternative sites available. So that was done. I'd also like to point out the photo simulations that I think you mentioned. Those are in the staff report. They have been provided, so that is what the monopine will look like. With respect to the antennas, volcano, and we did have a volcano.
Can we clarify that? Just this was stated by the appellant that she submitted it. Is that an example of what it looks like, or?
No, they provided in your packet. That's what I looked up.
Page 279?
Where? That's what this is.
All reds are 279.
No. The attorney provided
401 is what we were asked to read.
Okay. That's where I saw it.
Page 54.
Gotcha.
It's on the cover of the alternatives analysis that was dated October 6th. It shows the monopine.
Is that in one of the subsections here, D? Is that where it is? Exhibit D in this packet? Susan?
Pardon? Oh, here, on page 45 as well, on the bottom. 44 on the bottom.
Oh.
54. Between page 42 and 40. Out the monopine.
Okay, that's the photo simulation there.
I have a question. Is Verizon willing to work with the Allreds to show them, I realize you're their attorney, not Verizon, but to show them a model or something more real of what the...
The challenge we have, I mean, we're happy to show them the photo simulations.
Right.
You know, if we can give them addresses of other properties that they can look at. The challenge is to give an actual model, though. We're pretty much building the tower.
Sure, I understand. Yeah.
But the photo simulations are, we believe, done very professionally, done very well. I know there's been mention of some monopines that didn't turn out quite as well as they'd hoped. In the beginning, we were maybe on a learning curve. I think we've gotten very, very good at building these. And I know the Allreds had mentioned that this is new, that this is coming, and here it comes. But, I mean, based on the fact that the county was discussing the code in the year 2001, this isn't new. This is just one site that's close to their home, so I think that's where the concern comes. But I also did want to mention there is Verizon coverage along American Flatside Road because we're there now. This is not a new facility for Verizon. This is an upgrade of a facility to offer additional services. So we're not going to be increasing traffic on the road because we're already there. We're just upgrading the services that we're able to offer. And I'm glad to hear that the service does work on American Flatside Road. I didn't answer the question, though, about the antennas. So there has been some confusion on this. All Verizon antennas will be coming off the wind turbine. Volcano Telephone does have antennas on the wind turbine that will remain there.
Okay.
And they are higher than the new monopine, so it wouldn't work for them to move their equipment over because they would lose their microwave line of sight. We did have a Volcano representative here, but unfortunately he had to leave.
Right.
I promise I'll be brief. Paul Albritton. Our packet is a compilation of much of the application material that was submitted over the last... Absolutely. My name is Paul Albritton. I'm outside counsel for Verizon. The packet we submitted is a compilation of a lot of the submittals that have been provided already, and as has been pointed out, the photo simulations are included in there. The RF emissions reports are also in there, which show the low emissions. Our RF engineer gives a very explicit explanation of what the gap is and what they're, why they're filling the gap, including coverage maps and maps of the relevant portion of the network. The alternatives analysis goes through the alternatives, the collocations that were reviewed, as well as another map of the coverage area. So there's quite a bit of data and information that's provided by Verizon Wireless. It complies with all of the application materials that allowed it to be deemed an approved application and allowed it to be processed and reviewed by the Planning Commission. It was a procedural document to make sure that you have enough information about the environment. And in this particular case, it's a ministerial and administrative staff is properly determined that it complies with CEQA as a ministerial. Also properly determined that this can be considered definition of wireless telecommunication facilities, and your code references towers, which implies that a co-location can be multiple towers. So all of these are, we believe, justifiable, reasonable interpretations of your code. You're given great deference to interpret your own code, and we think that they'll stand up in, against.
So you feel you've gone through sufficient analysis of other sites?
Yes, and I say that because we purchased a network, and this network was designed to cover a particular area. And the Verizon Wireless, and any wireless network, is set up like sprinklers on a lawn. You set up the towers to provide service and provide handoff between one tower into the next tower. And this facility is going precisely where this site and its coverage fits into the network. And that's why it will provide the optimum amount of coverage for its potential location. If you move the sprinkler, you create a brown spot and you create an excess capacity area. So that's the reason. The terms, though, that the appellant is referring to in terms of least intrusive means and filling a gap and so forth are not in your code. Those are federal law standards that we discussed to show that even if you had evidence to deny the site, the federal law would compel you to improve it. But you don't have to make those findings. You don't have to show that it's the least intrusive. You just have to meet, remember, this is a staff-level approval. You have to meet those three findings regarding aesthetics, that we're not 15 feet above adjacent trees and poles, which we're not. They're nearby trees that are actually 12 feet taller in elevation than our facility. Camouflaging the facility, and that we're not affecting the quality of aesthetics of the county, which we're clearly not with the single tree. I think staff-level approval can be made. You don't need findings about least intrusive means or gap in coverage or anything like that.
And I just want to address one other thing, which is the height. So the application as it came in was a 50-foot tower that staff deemed was appropriate, consistent, and could be approved under the code under as a staff-issued permit because of all the factors, the height of the existing trees, the already existing wind turbine, which is much higher than this standalone tower will be, the other cell towers at the site. And at the Planning Commission, there was a request for a mitigation measure that staff didn't technically believe was required, but it was requested and it was agreed to by Verizon. So that additional height, because of the that's necessary only because of the mitigation measure to do the crown, doesn't put this outside the realm of staff issued. So we still think that this is a staff issued permit. You know, they can't use a mitigation measure that they request and now say, oh, well, you can't approve it because you're giving us what we requested.
Okay, well, thank you for that clarification, Greg. You know, at this time, I'd like to open it back up to public comment. Any more members of the public that'd like to comment? If you'd like to, please come forward, state your name for the record. Ma'am, once everybody's commented, you can come back for a second bite of the apple. So, anybody that hasn't commented previously, please come forward, state your name for the record, and sign in if you would, please.
Carl McDaddle, resident of Fiddletown and proprietor of the only open store in Fiddletown. Our business is very internet dependent, and that issue has pretty well been addressed by Volcano not moving their antennas from the existing tower. One issue that hasn't been addressed is the great number of people who stop into the only open store in Fiddletown asking for directions because their cell phone stopped working. And this would be a great relief to all those people, many of whom are tourists and whose opinion of our area is formed by things like whether or not they have the cell service. We'd like to see a lot of them return. They'll return if they have a favorable opinion, and certainly better cell coverage in that area. Have a great influence on that.
Get to sell them something when they come in asking for directions?
Well, we do our best.
It drives traffic.
Some of them feel obligated.
Nobody gets out of there without singing the blues.
Scottish business ingenuity and sell them some chocolates.
And I think the pen disappeared.
As long as the laser pointer's still there.
Yes, laser pointer, sure, but it's ineffective.
Doesn't write very good, though.
Well, thank you.
Thank you.
For Eakin, and I believe of all the people here, I have a better view of what's going on the hill than anybody. It's right in my living room window. Looks straight towards that hill with the tower on it. And my problem is, if it doesn't run, like Mr. Anna said, take it down or cut it off to the 50-foot. And I have, for this is hearsay, that when the fan runs, it vibrates that tower where it interrupts the communication from volcano communication. And if that's true, maybe the PG&E part gets here. Maybe they can run it, or if it's still not running, take it down or cut it off.
You're talking about the wind generator, right?
The wind generator, yeah. The 100-foot one. I have no problem. I think I was the one that suggested that this new 30-year tower looks like the one over on Highway 50 and Missouri Flat Road.
Yeah, I think you were, yeah.
Yeah. I was. It doesn't look too bad. Of course, it may be the only green thing up there if the bug tree keeps going.
Have to design it to look like a bug tree, huh?
Like a bug tree.
That in the Sierras.
Works fine. If it doesn't, take it down.
All right. Well, thank you.
Thanks for the hearing.
My name is Marilyn McDaniel. I'm a resident of Fiddletown. I'd like to state that, number one, I'm very much in favor of the cell tower for the reason that a few weeks ago there was a car that had come through Fiddletown, and I'm not sure which, I don't remember which direction it was going, but anyway, it flipped off the road, landed on its roof, and we came by, and there was a woman trying to use her cell phone, got absolutely no coverage, and Carl ended up staying with her, and I had to drive further up the hill to a safe place to turn around to go back down into Fiddletown to the candy store to call 911. On another incident, there was a fire in Fiddletown. There is no payphone, number one. There is no payphone and has not been for years in Fiddletown. And there was a fire, a grass fire, and again, we had to find somebody. It was before we opened the candy store and we were moving in. We had to find somebody to call 911 to get the fire department out there. So the cell service is absolutely necessary in Fiddletown. There is no coverage right in Fiddletown. Thank you.
Thank you. Anybody else like to comment?
Mike Bellamy, live in Fiddletown, and I'm one of those ones that also does not have a cell phone. My wife has one, and she does have Verizon. We have body service at our house, and she has body service going to it. I'm for the cell tower, but my primary reason for coming here was to RF, which I think is... all branches of the military. My amount of RF that's going to come off that tower is so negligible that none of it, as was pointed out to me earlier today, cell tower. So basically, I'm for it, and it. Everybody.
Thank you. Anybody else?
Got it. The lady in the back wanted to.
Oh. Well, go ahead. She'll come up. She'll come up next.
I just want to address the photo simulations real quick. When I looked at the photo simulation and my husband looked at it, it doesn't look anything like we would see. And we addressed that with the, maybe not a wide-angle lens, but a lens at 18 millimeter. We had two professionals identify that that was not the most accurate depiction. And it would be nice if there was some type of, for the staff, there was a provision that, you know, they could see it wouldn't be apples and oranges and oranges and apples, but they would be all within one scope so they could actually determine, because it didn't look like it. So we were like, this doesn't look like it. So I hired an attorney. I mean, I'm sorry, attorney. That I had to, too. I hired, to help me understand CEQA, two photographers, one that came out and took pictures from the neighboring properties, view sheds, roadways, particularly at the thing. And then I hired a different one to put in the sim, put in the tower, so that people and you guys could see, because you don't go where we live. So you could see more closely what it looks like. But the pictures, unfortunately, Verizon likes previsualists. But for me, I don't see an accurate depiction of what I see with the previsualist pictures. And I'm just telling you that is my opinion. I do also have one more quick question. You know, Mike Bellamy and others around are saying if this site goes in, if this new pole goes in, new facility goes in, he'll have better coverage. And I hope it does. I do. If you guys put it there, I hope it does. But I wish that it would even be expanded because the footprint's staying the same. They're not changing their footprints, according to Karen at the... It's just changing service. Now, that's fine, too, but there may be a better location that would service more people.
Let me take another bite of the apple. I'm hungry, and I'm sure you all are, too. If indeed there has been only a study about the co-location, which I have learned from this hearing means something that would be 1 mile from the current location. I would love to see the October 6th study that has been referenced here because that's, you know, apparently very recent. But if indeed there has not been an alternative site study to see whether if it were placed 1.5 miles north of Fiddletown, if it could provide service to the entire village of Fiddletown, which is critically important, but also to provide service, as I mentioned earlier, down to the end of Tyler Road where you're hearing from people talking about they get cut off services. We're talking about we're not getting any at all. If I just beg you, please, look at alternative sites. I think this is the one opportunity that we have from our neck of the woods to get some service. Even if it's spotty service, at least I ought to be able to pick up a call and a phone and call 911. I ask you, please, to take a look sites to see if everybody could be made happy in this. I don't think that looking in my crystal ball, if this is the one that goes in for Fiddletown, we're never going to get anything out at the end of Tyler Road. I just don't believe that any big company is going to come in and go, oh, yeah, we're going to help you out now. I think this is our one opportunity, so please look at the alternative. Whether there is some place that could serve us all. That's all I'm asking. Not trying to take anything away from anybody. I'd be happy to look at the thing if you put it in my yard, but I'm too far out. It wouldn't service Fiddletown, the town. But I think there could be a spot if those engineering studies were done. And I'd love to see if someone could tell me, please, how I can look at that October 6th study. I would love to see that. Thank you.
In the alternative analysis that was done, I would think that if I was a company, I would try to pick the best site. And I think that's what they feel they've done. But then when they were given, the All Reds gave them a different site, they looked at that site. And it was found to be unacceptable because of the elevation. And they show a graph in here that shows it's too low based on it does not get over the hills. So I'm looking at it and saying, how many alternative sites do you look at?
Well, you know, I'm not sure if the Verizon people were aware of all of the people down on the end of Tyler Road who could be potential customers here. They probably were looking only at the village of Fiddletown to determine, you know, what would work best for Fiddletown. And, you know, shoot, you've got a site that's working now. You put the tower right next to it, bing, bang, boom, we're gone. We've got it, okay? I'm just saying, how many do you look at? I would be looking at every potential site to see if there could be a line that could be drawn to include all going out. In fact, you can go into El Dorado County. You know, you cross Tyler Road into the county of El Dorado, and there's people who live out there who have the same problems. Just saying, I'd sure like people to take a close look at these alternative sites so everybody can have service. Let's all be happy.
And we don't know what they've done, though, because I'm not a Verizon customer. But I would figure in their business plan, they're going to look at what works the best for them.
Well,
and what's feasible, too. I mean, these sites require power at those locations.
Access, power,
a whole lot of things that determine the feasibility of a site or non-feasibility thereof. And some of these sites that may, you know, look across the state and way up on a ridge someplace that has greater coverage don't have those aspects. They don't have access. They don't have power. Things like that.
I appreciate that. It's just, you know, getting into this, driving up Tyler Road yesterday, I was looking with my own eyes and seeing places right off the road. I didn't have an altimeter to find out exactly the elevation. I'm very aware that the higher on the hill that you get, the better coverage everyone's going to get. And you're looking
and
at places
that
are right next. Well, again, you may have people complain about that, but when you have people who can't make any cell phone call at all, people in Fiddletown can. I mean, they are getting Verizon. I'm told it's 1G as opposed to 4G. But, you know, I remember one day there was a stray dog on the side of the road in Fiddletown, and I stopped to help this dog, and I couldn't make a call to try to call the tag owner. Some guy pulls up in his car, and he pulls out his cell. He says, well, I can make the call. Well, he had Verizon. I have AT&T because Verizon, I can get this much AT&T where I live. I can't make a call, but I can usually get an email out. All I'm saying is that along Tyler Road, there appear to be sites, and the good people from Verizon can perhaps answer this. Again, I would like to see the October 6th study to see what has been just very recently proposed. If, again, you know, this doesn't have to happen tomorrow. This could happen in 2 months if there were a study that showed, like, yeah, you know what, there actually is a site that could provide service to all of us who have absolutely none.
I just want to, I think it was mentioned before, one aspect of, I mean, the site analysis of the code, the way I read the purpose of that code is to encourage co-location, not for the county to get in the business of how to develop a cell network. It's to encourage, instead of having a bunch of, you know, new poles that we require an analysis to promote co-location on existing structures so we don't dot the landscape with more. So I'm not sure that our code as it's written intended to address the issue of coverage or appropriate coverage.
I agree. It looks like existing facilities. I sympathize with the lady is saying, and only problem is I think it's seems like any time government gets involved in private business sector operation like that, we normally don't help. So I think that's kind of why we left it up to private business. I'm sure they want the most customers they can get for possible. Best bang for their buck, too. Any other members of the public like to have Mr. Jones? We were on the comment.
A lot of people here are very confused. This is a modification to an existing facility. This is not a brand new facility. If it's a brand new facility, yes, you need all this stuff. Is it really the best spot? This is just a modification to an existing facility, and this argument should end, in my opinion. Thank you.
Telephone is here and vibrates that tower where they get cut.
That's really not part of our agenda, I don't think.
I neglected to say that he apologized. He had to go to another meeting. Volcano was here, and they're in
town. Right.
Well, for now, their towers are going to stay on that fan, Rosemary. Their antennas are going to stay on that fan, Volcano's is. I have no idea. You think if it was, they'd remedy it.
It's their communication.
Their problem
so.
If it does, yeah.
I would think if it's an issue, they'd take it down. And that's something we can't address at this meeting, so it's not something we're supposed to be addressing. Any more members of the public?
All red. Okay. I've been in business for 35 years. I've done business with Verizon and people that they do business with. And I've watched them over the last 20 years develop their plan. And they built these little buildings, antennas and poles, and they could put them right here in your parking lot probably tomorrow. And that's how fast they can put them up. That's how fast they have been putting them up.
There's a longer process than that. First, they get permits for darn things.
Well, maybe there is. But if there is another location, they already have the ability to put these things somewhere else, on a top of a mountain, because that's where they need to be put, obviously. They need to go higher so they can get more service. They can't go higher on the Fellernelli's Hill because, well, you know why? There's a hill that's away, just a little bit of ways, then they can go 90 feet high and get more service. And they can put their mobile systems that they have right there on top of the hill. There are proposed location. There's power there. It's like 0.3 miles away. You can put towers up, they sure as heck can run line for power. So they need to look at that, and we could all get more power. So we don't have an emergency situation, lost dog, people turned over. We need emergency services. You guys need to look at the alternatives so that we have our emergency services in place. This is not going to improve anything. We all have service. It's only going to give us all 4G, whatever the hell that means. So we need to look at alternative sites.
On the site that you propose, they say it's a 2060 elevation. They said the reason that they did not choose that site is that lacks sufficient access, necessary utilities, no improvements nearby on the property, and considering the poor radio frequency propagation from the location and greater environmental impacts. That's the reasons they gave for discounting that.
That was an October 6th reason. But
and they also said specifically a ridge southeast of Fiddletown that would block the signal.
Yeah, the same thing with Farinelli's. That same hill blocks it. That's why you don't get service down there. So if we can go higher and get more service, they would make more money.
We should go higher.
but not on that hill.
Well, yeah, but then you know something else
in your neighbor's yard, not yours.
I hate to tell you this, but you have other people here complaining.
This is Laura Allred. There was something you said that they stated that the power wasn't accessible. The only reason I mentioned the alternative site is because it was absent in the file. So I had a neighbor say, "Oh yeah, I've been wanting one of those for a long time." It wasn't like I went fishing around. The neighbor, while I was talking about it, said, "Perfect." I went, "Oh my gosh, you're an alternative site." It wasn't anything else than that. And then it was, would it work? Well, the power is there. They have a power and they have a field. It's, the power is 0.3
but
miles away.
The main reason is the
that could
line.
Be. I understand. I understand that. But the power is there and it is accessible. Those were the 2 points. I don't know about that stuff. I'm not the expert on that.
Oh, any other public comment? Looks like we pretty well beat it to death.
Move to close the public hearing.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Carries unanimous. Now, what is the pleasure?
Go to our county council. So there were some statements made that no CEQA has been done. It's just staff recommended a level of CEQA that wasn't acceptable, correct?
No, this is a ministerial permit, like a
negative
similar to a building permit where planning has to make a determination that it's consistent with the zoning. It does.
Similar to a neg deck, so the CEQA process.
No, not CEQA at all.
But you're going on that line where there basically is little analysis.
Whether CEQA is required on a ministerial permit or not has actually been adjudicated recently under the Dollar General thing.
So CEQA issue aside, it does talk about mitigating visual impacts. The code requires certain factors. And it was looked at by staff, and again, because of the tree height, because of the existing 100 and whatever foot
wind turbine
tower that's already in the view shed, they determined that there is no additional visual impact by having an adjacent 50-foot tower. There was a request for the monopine as a mitigation measure, which they've added, consistent with our code. So you are looking at aesthetics, but it's not a CEQA issue. If it's consistent with the code deemed by staff, then they issue it. They don't have discretion to deny it if they deem it to meet our code.
Well, I think one provision of the code that seems to come into play is the screening of ancillary equipment. I'd be in support of requesting that Verizon do what's required to slat, if they're building a chain link fence, slat that with slats, color slats that are similar to that of the background area. Help screen that equipment. I think that's a reasonable request.
I think it does say new equipment, but I think there's probably some new equipment going in there, so I think that'd be reasonable.
They indicated that they didn't have a problem doing that. So.
Yeah.
That should probably be in a motion or no?
Well, if there's no further comments, I'll put it in a motion to deny the appeal, but uphold the Planning Commission's condition as well as adding the condition of slatting the chain link fencing with a color similar to that of the background area.
Second.
Motion is second. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Carries unanimous. And also, I'd like to thank everybody for, even though it was a hotly debated issue, for being civil about it. So thank you.
So what do you want to do then?
You know, let's see. I'm looking here. I think lunch. Lunch?
Okay. Although I hate to make Tom keep waiting, but oh well.
Well, we got to take, you know.
We've got a few other things, too.
We got a number before we get to Tom. So just let Tom know we're going to be a while, if you would.
Susan broke it.
Susan! Stop for a minute.
Stop! I don't want to come back here.
Let's see, how long do you want? 45 minutes?
Whatever you want.
Half hour? Half hour is long enough, huh?
Half hour is plenty.
We're going to take a half hour break and get a bite to eat, so we'll be back in 1.5 hours. So be back at 2:20.